On Mother's Day 1985, Philadelphia did something unthinkable. The city had been engaged in a standoff with a radical organization called MOVE.
The helicopter takes off, then
the city dropped a bomb on MOVE's headquarters, killing 11 people, five of them children.
My daughters were taken away by this corrupt government!
Why is it so many have never heard of the MOVE bombing?
Black people will never get justice in America.
The Africas versus America, available now everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
This week marks 1 year since civil war broke out in Sudan. The country is now the site of the world's largest displacement crisis. The African nation of almost 50 million people has been the battleground between two powerful rival factions. Roughly 8 million people have been forced from their homes, an estimated 14,000 people killed. And the few aid agencies still on the ground warn that there is a catastrophic hunger crisis underway. Jacob Opwapo is a humanitarian worker with Islamic Relief. He is in Sudan. Hello.
Hello. Hello, Rebecca.
Jacob, your organization is warning that Sudan is on the brink of mass famine. How many people are at risk of starving?
Currently, we have 17.7 million people who are in the brink of facing acute hunger. And these 17.7 million people are currently in IPC 3+. And those who are already in an emergency state are 14.9 million.
What happens if they don't get assistance soon then?
If they don't get assistance, then we'll be facing a famine, and this will be just coupled with deaths.
Tell me a little bit about where all these people are living right now. What do those conditions look like?
Majority of those who have been displaced are living in IDP gathering points, which mostly are in schools, and some of them are in unfinished buildings, and some of them are also putting up with the relatives within the host communities. The living conditions in the IDP camps is one thing. The hygiene and sanitation conditions are so poor, and as you know, that they also lack amenities. Even access to water is a problem for them. Access to basic needs, non-food items, is a problem to them. So generally, the living conditions in these gathering points are so poor.
We're talking about 8 million people who have been displaced. Is that right?
Yes. We currently have 6.6 million IDPs who are within the country, and around 1.8 million who have been displaced outside the country.
Jacob, take us back a year. What prompted the civil war?
What prompted you remember before the 15th April 2023 war, there have been a lot of civil unrest and political unrest in the country. And there are a lot of coups that happened between the civilian leadership and the military leadership. And we guess that the disagreements between all these players is what led to the war.
The day-to-day life of the people who are there today, who do not have homes. Are they seeing violence still today? What is their day-to-day like?
Currently in Sudan, there are three areas which are still facing this active fighting. And when the fighting started, it's not only the conflict between the two warring parties, but also some smaller armed groups that have also joined in and supporting either sides. So generally in the Khartoum region, the Kordofan region, and the Darfur region, these are where even currently there's active fighting between the warring parties and some other small conflicts that are taking place. So generally the people, their lives have been interrupted, and their livelihoods interrupted, and the living conditions there are not all that good.
The challenges then of getting aid to the people who need it, how are the groups that are on the ground still, how are they managing to do that?
This has been one of the greatest challenges of access, because either parts of the parties to the warring conflict, there is some form of blockade of aid that is being delivered by the humanitarian actors. So generally, access is an issue that we are actively dealing with. And we are trying as humanitarian actors to ensure that this aid reaches the people through access negotiation, through the structures which are in place by United Nations agencies on the ground. The aid is trickling at a very low level. But however, the humanitarian actors are really trying to ensure that aid reaches the most vulnerable and the most needy in even hard-to-reach areas.
You know, United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres told reporters after the Security Council met on Sudan yesterday that, quote, the world is forgetting about the people of Sudan. Do you feel as though that is an accurate picture of what's going on?
Yes, I really feel that that is the true picture of what is going on, because it's like the humanitarian situation in Sudan has been forgotten and the attention has gone to other areas. And we are not saying that the attention should not go to those other areas, but the tempo with which the negotiation started has died, and we really need to bring back the warring parties to the table so that the negotiations can go on, because we are currently looking at a glaring famine in Sudan, and we don't want to go into that situation. We also have the pledges which were made. The humanitarian needs and response for 2024 is only 5% funded, and this is really worrying, because there are pledges which are not been actualized to date.
Which pledges are those?
Yeah, we have the humanitarian needs and response plan for 2024 that is headed by the UN OCHA. And in that plan, there's a budget. And out of the total budget, we only have 5.8% as of 14th of April. Only 5.8% has been funded, which translates to $155 million US dollars out of the needed $2.7 billion dollars.
We did hear, though, that world donors pledged more than $2.1 billion in humanitarian aid at an international conference in Paris on Sudan just yesterday. Is that encouraging? Are you hopeful that you'll start to see more resources flow into the country?
Yeah, it's quite encouraging, and we are hopeful that if when actualized, then we'll be able to do more to reach the vulnerable people of Sudan who have been affected by the current ongoing war. And I would just like to point out that pledging is one thing, but releasing the funds is also another. So we just need that consistent commitment that they will pledge and the funds will be availed.
Mm-hmm. Jacob, you yourself have lived there since 2019. You're not from Sudan, but you've been living there. So what has it been like for you personally to be in this situation?
I think it's quite devastating and discouraging, because since I reported to Sudan in 2019, I've been working in a central Darfur region, which has faced a protracted conflict for several decades. And the level of suffering in Darfur was so much. And with this conflict, it just the efforts that we have been putting in place as humanitarian actors is currently totally destroyed. For us as humanitarian workers, and personally myself, it's quite discouraging with the current conflict. And for me, it's been very difficult, because beginning of 2023 is when I moved to Khartoum, so that I could, I was now covering the whole of Sudan where we are operating, and I've been displaced from Khartoum. When the war started, I was in Khartoum and was evacuated and came back. We relocated the country office to another state called Gadaref. And also there we had to evacuate the country office. Now we are based in Port Sudan. It's not been easy. Just the commitment and the love we have for Sudanese that most of us are still here and continuing to ensure that humanitarian assistance reaches the most deserving and the most vulnerable, and in this case, mostly women and children.
Mm. Okay, Jacob Apuapo, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Thomas, Rebecca.
Jacob Apuapo is a humanitarian worker with Islamic Relief. We reached him in Port Sudan, Sudan.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.